Listening Comprehension Test. You will hear each recording twice. After each listening, you will have time to complete your answers. Task 1. Criminals. You will hear 6 news items from a radio morning show. While listening, match the news items 1 to 6 with the headings A to G. There is one more heading than you need. You now have time to read the assignment. One.
Good morning, I'm Steve Inskeep with props for the creativity of a New York State driver. Police pulled over the driver in Montgomery County, and the officer noticed the inspection sticker was hand-drawn. It did say the vehicle was cleared through the year 2020, but the officer ticketed the driver for an unregistered vehicle. It is hard to know what might have tipped off the officer, the wobbly handwriting, the homemade barcode, or maybe it was the pink construction paper.
2.
Good morning, I'm David Green. Clowns have an image problem. Some are good, some are evil, like Pennywise in Stephen King's It. So we can forgive police in Clarksville, Tennessee for warning the public about a man with a red nose and painted face handing out candy to kids. After a few tense hours, police said, mystery solved, the clown was harmless. He's just a nice older man who dresses up on his birthday and spreads joy. Police said, quote, everyone can now breathe. You're listening to Morning Edition.
3.
Good morning, I'm David Green. Police in Toronto, Canada are trying to catch a guy who allegedly broke into a business. They've got a pretty good lead. The Toronto Sun reports they gave the public what they believe is an image of the man's face. It's actually a photocopy of the guy's face made by the guy while inside the business, apparently snacking and doing some photocopying. The image is pretty clear. Less clear is whether this burglar meant to help police find him.
4.
Good morning, I'm David Green. Somebody lost a cow in Pembroke Pines, Florida. Police put out a notice online. Wanted, unknown cow, brown with a white head, faster than it looks. A police spokesperson said the cow has been loose for weeks. The department has tried to wrangle her, but she knows how to jump a fence. She also loves a good swimming pool. The police notice said the cow is guilty of, quote, moving violations. That pun should just be illegal, shouldn't it?
5.
Good morning, I'm Noelle King. Date night. You do it to spice up a relationship. For Chase and Nicole McCowan, that worked out great. They just finished eating at a Louisville restaurant when a man with a gun walked over to the cashier. The couple, who are both police officers, drew their weapons and he dropped his gun and ran. They followed him, they caught him, and they detained him. It was a right place, right time type of deal, Chase told the Washington Post.
6.
Good morning, I'm David Green. So a guy stole a pickup truck that was filled with white paint. This is not going to end well. The man drove at high speed into downtown Lancaster, Pennsylvania, hit a truck, went airborne, crashed the vehicle on its side. The guy was covered head to toe in white paint. He tried to run, but it is really hard to hide when you are covered in white paint. The man has been arrested after modeling an early Halloween costume, the white surrender flag. You're listening to Morning Edition.
Now listen to the recording again. 1.
Good morning, I'm Steve Inskeep with props for the creativity of a New York State driver. Police pulled over the driver in Montgomery County, and the officer noticed the inspection sticker was hand-drawn. It did say the vehicle was cleared through the year 2020, but the officer ticketed the driver for an unregistered vehicle. It is hard to know what might have tipped off the officer, the wobbly handwriting, the homemade barcode, or maybe it was the pink construction paper.
2.
Good morning, I'm David Green. Clowns have an image problem. Some are good, some are evil, like Pennywise in Stephen King's It. So we can forgive police in Clarksville, Tennessee for warning the public about a man with a red nose and painted face handing out candy to kids. After a few tense hours, police said, mystery solved, the clown was harmless. He's just a nice older man who dresses up on his birthday and spreads joy. Police said, quote, everyone can now breathe. You're listening to Morning Edition.
3.
Good morning, I'm David Green. Police in Toronto, Canada are trying to catch a guy who allegedly broke into a business. They've got a pretty good lead. The Toronto Sun reports they gave the public what they believe is an image of the man's face. It's actually a photocopy of the guy's face made by the guy while inside the business, apparently snacking and doing some photocopying. The image is pretty clear. Less clear is whether this burglar meant to help police find him.
4.
Good morning, I'm David Green. Somebody lost a cow in Pembroke Pines, Florida. Police put out a notice online. Wanted, unknown cow, brown with a white head, faster than it looks. A police spokesperson said the cow has been loose for weeks. The department has tried to wrangle her, but she knows how to jump a fence. She also loves a good swimming pool. The police notice said the cow is guilty of, quote, moving violations. That pun should just be illegal, shouldn't it?
5.
Good morning, I'm Noelle King. Date night. You do it to spice up a relationship. For Chase and Nicole McCowan, that worked out great. They just finished eating at a Louisville restaurant when a man with a gun walked over to the cashier. The couple, who are both police officers, drew their weapons and he dropped his gun and ran. They followed him, they caught him, and they detained him. It was a right place, right time type of deal, Chase told the Washington Post.
6.
Good morning, I'm David Green. So a guy stole a pickup truck that was filled with white paint. This is not going to end well. The man drove at high speed into downtown Lancaster, Pennsylvania, hit a truck, went airborne, crashed the vehicle on its side. The guy was covered head to toe in white paint. He tried to run, but it is really hard to hide when you are covered in white paint. The man has been arrested after modeling an early Halloween costume, the white surrender flag. You're listening to Morning Edition.
Task 2. Women on Strike. You will hear a report about a strike in Britain in 1976. While listening, complete the table. You need not write complete sentences. Unless otherwise specified, one aspect is enough. You now have time to read the assignment.
Today, I'm taking you back to 1976, when a group of South Asian women led a strike over poor working conditions in a British factory. At its height, 20,000 people joined the protests. It went on to become a defining moment in improved race relations in Britain. The Grunwick Film Processing Factory in North London employed mainly women of South Asian origin, most of whom were migrants from East Africa. They were commonly thought of as hardworking and passive. The women at the Grunwick factory would challenge this stereotype when they walked out over what they claimed was unfair treatment. They also wanted to join a union.
I said I'm going to support our Asian women. I will stay outside on the picket line until conditions improve and we get union recognition. Conditions will improve at Grunwick once we are allowed to join the union.
Grunwick will be better.
Lakshmi Patel started working at the Grunwick factory in 1972 and had seen many of her colleagues treated poorly.
In Grunwick, there was a big glass room. The manager used to sit in that room. He would observe us from that room. He would keep an eye on us. If we were going to the toilet, if it took too long, then he would ask why. What were you up to? If you didn't want to do overtime, you were forced to. There was a lot of Indian women working at Grunwick. Many of them were very scared. They were afraid of the supervisors and couldn't do anything about it.
But one woman, Jayabin Desai, had had enough. In August 1976, she walked out in support of a sacked colleague. Here she is talking to the BBC about that day.
I told them, look, this is not the situation for me to work. Give me my card straight away. And I walk out.
So Mrs. Desai walked out. And by Monday, the 23rd of August, five others, including her son, had joined her. They picketed the gates and they tried to persuade other workers to leave the factory and attend a meeting to draw up a list of grievances.
I was on the picket line from the first day. Jayabin Desai felt strongly we needed to have a union in the factory. So we decided that all of us would come out at 3 o'clock that day. Jayabin wanted it because of the poor working conditions and being forced to do overtime.
Just 4'10" tall, not only did Jayabin lead the walkout, she was determined they would stay out for as long as it took.
How long will you stay here?
Unless when we will finish this dispute.
A year?
Any time.
5 years?
10 years.
You'd stay?
We'll stay.
Jaya Masi Desai was very strong woman.
She believed that women have so many rights in this country. Then why can't we have them too? She used to live just behind my house. We used to make the banners for the protests in my back garden.
And she was not scared of nobody.
The workers joined a trade union and began to make demands for better wages, a better working environment and better treatment. The Grunwick factory management refused to recognise their union membership. After months of picketing outside the factory, the women did, however, gain support from other trade unions who began to advise them. Here's trade unionist Jack Dromey.
What we then did was to organise together with the strikers for delegations of strikers to go to 2,000 workplaces throughout Britain in a 35-week period. What you saw was the remarkable spectre of, in Jayabin Desai's words, little Asian ladies with dots on their head going into steel mills, car factories, engineering factories, aircraft factories.
The visits from Jayabin and her colleagues worked, and what started out as a small industrial dispute grew day by day. And by June and July 1977, up to 20,000 people were taking part in protests outside the factory gates.
Now listen to the recording again.
Today, I'm taking you back to 1976, when a group of South Asian women led a strike over poor working conditions in a British factory. At its height, 20,000 people joined the protests. It went on to become a defining moment in improved race relations in Britain. The Grunwick Film Processing Factory in North London employed mainly women of South Asian origin, most of whom were migrants from East Africa. They were commonly thought of as hardworking and passive. The women at the Grunwick factory would challenge this stereotype when they walked out over what they claimed was unfair treatment. They also wanted to join a union.
I said I'm going to support our Asian women. I will stay outside on the picket line until conditions improve and we get union recognition. Conditions will improve at Grunwick once we are allowed to join the union.
Grunwick will be better.
Lakshmi Patel started working at the Grunwick factory in 1972 and had seen many of her colleagues treated poorly.
In Grunwick, there was a big glass room. The manager used to sit in that room. He would observe us from that room. He would keep an eye on us. If we were going to the toilet, if it took too long, then he would ask why. What were you up to? If you didn't want to do overtime, you were forced to. There was a lot of Indian women working at Grunwick. Many of them were very scared. They were afraid of the supervisors and couldn't do anything about it.
But one woman, Jayabin Desai, had had enough. In August 1976, she walked out in support of a sacked colleague. Here she is talking to the BBC about that day.
I told her, look, this is not the situation for me to work. Give me my card straight away. And I walk out.
So Mrs. Desai walked out. And by Monday, the 23rd of August, five others, including her son, had joined her. They picketed the gates and they tried to persuade other workers to leave the factory and attend a meeting to draw up a list of grievances.
I was on the picket line from the first day. Jayabin Desai felt strongly we needed to have a union in the factory. So we decided that all of us would come out at 3 o'clock that day. Jayabin wanted it because of the poor working conditions and being forced to do overtime.
Just 4'10" tall, not only did Jayabin lead the walkout, she was determined they would stay out for as long as it took.
How long will you stay here?
Unless when we will finish this dispute.
A year?
Any time.
5 years?
10 years.
You'd stay?
We'll stay.
Jaya Masi Desai was a very strong woman.
She believed that women have so many rights in this country. Then why can't we have them too? She used to live just behind my house. We used to make the banners for the protests in my back garden.
And she was not scared of nobody.
The workers joined a trade union and began to make demands for better wages, a better working environment and better treatment. The Grunwick factory management refused to recognise their union membership. After months of picketing outside the factory, the women did, however, gain support from other trade unions who began to advise them. Here's trade unionist Jack Dromey.
What we then did was to organise together with the strikers for delegations of strikers to go to 2,000 workplaces throughout Britain in a 35-week period. What you saw was the remarkable spectre of, in Jayabin Desai's words, little Asian ladies with dots on their head going into steel mills, car factories, engineering factories, aircraft factories.
The visits from Jayabin and her colleagues worked, and what started out as a small industrial dispute grew day by day. And by June and July 1977, up to 20,000 people were taking part in protests outside the factory gates.
Task 3. Gap years. You will hear an interview about gap years. While listening, tick the correct answer, A, B, C, or D. There is only one correct answer. You now have time to read the assignment.
Michelle Dittmer is the president and co-founder of the Canadian Gap Year Association. It's a nonprofit created to support families deciding whether a year away from school might be the right fit. Michelle, nice to have you here. Tell me, for other people who may not have thought about it or even really explored it, why you think people should consider a gap year.
Why would you not consider a gap year is the real question. Gap years are such an incredible opportunity to take a step off the conveyor belt of education. You jump on in kindergarten and you're asked to go, go, go really hard. And if you don't know what you want to do, if you are not sure about who you are as a person and what you want to study and who you want to become, to just continue down that pathway at 120 miles an hour is not necessarily the right step. So it's taking that step away to be very thoughtful about what your next step might look like, to take some time to recharge your batteries, to explore different career options, or just to gain some life experience can be a very wise decision.
You know, your passion for this came out of your experience as a teacher. Tell me what generated your passion for the idea of a gap year.
I was a high school teacher, and what I saw in the classroom was that the experiential components were being squeezed out for the curriculum. And a lot of the interpersonal skills and the things that I now identify that made me a successful and happy person weren't actually being taught in the classroom, and there wasn't enough space being made for those experiences. So looking at how I could impact the system and how I could help a lot of families who needed that extra time or wanted that extra time, I really found that the gap year model that's very successful in Europe and in Australia was something that our culture here in North America doesn't necessarily support. So I wanted to lend my voice and lend my expertise into that realm so families can feel okay, that I can give them permission to slow down and figure it out.
Is it more a common practice in other countries?
It is. Yeah, it's very, very common in Europe. About 30% of students will take time off on a gap year. And Australia, if you go out to Banff or Lake Louise, most of the staff out there are on their gap years coming from Australia to spend some time here. So we're a little bit behind the times with this trend here.
Now listen to the recording again.
Michelle Dittmer is the president and co-founder of the Canadian Gap Year Association. It's a nonprofit created to support families deciding whether a year away from school might be the right fit. Michelle, nice to have you here. Tell me, for other people who may not have thought about it or even really explored it, why you think people should consider a gap year.
Why would you not consider a gap year is the real question. Gap years are such an incredible opportunity to take a step off the conveyor belt of education. You jump on in kindergarten and you're asked to go, go, go really hard. And if you don't know what you want to do, if you are not sure about who you are as a person and what you want to study and who you want to become, to just continue down that pathway at 120 miles an hour is not necessarily the right step. So it's taking that step away to be very thoughtful about what your next step might look like, to take some time to recharge your batteries, to explore different career options, or just to gain some life experience can be a very wise decision.
You know, your passion for this came out of your experience as a teacher. Tell me what generated your passion for the idea of a gap year.
I was a high school teacher, and what I saw in the classroom was that the experiential components were being squeezed out for the curriculum. And a lot of the interpersonal skills and the things that I now identify that made me a successful and happy person weren't actually being taught in the classroom. And there wasn't enough space being made for those experiences. So looking at how I could impact the system and how I could help a lot of families who needed that extra time or wanted that extra time, I really found that the gap year model that's very successful in Europe and in Australia was something that our culture here in North America doesn't necessarily support. So I wanted to lend my voice and lend my expertise into that realm so families can feel okay, that I can give them permission to slow down and figure it out.
Is it more a common practice in other countries?
It is. Yeah, it's very, very common in Europe. About 30% of students will take time off on a gap year. And Australia, if you go out to Banff or Lake Louise, most of the staff out there are on their gap years coming from Australia to spend some time here. So we're a little bit behind the times with this trend here.
This is the end of your listening comprehension test.